a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Perseverance and diligence personified here, committee members, I appreciate it. Let's start by taking the roll, Madam Secretary.
Senators Bigalka.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Nygaard.
Here.
Valley. Buell.
Here.
Cutler.
Here, barely.
Thiessen.
Here.
Not all here.
So we have 5.5, is that what we're saying? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have two items on the agenda today. We have the unfinished business of House Bill 1145. Just to remind us from yesterday, I believe we took proponent and opponent testimony. We had rebuttal questions, and we're ready for committee discussion and action. Does anyone?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, before I make a comment on action, I just want to say that this certainly presents an interesting situation, House Bill 1145. You know, as a law student...
Stand by a moment, Senator, if you would, please. I want to make sure that we're all in agreement that that's where we're at in the process. Does the committee agree that we're to committee discussion and action? All right. That being said, go ahead, Senator Nygaard.
Thank you. And going to Marquette University Law School, we really concentrated on Latin terms. And lex loci delecti is one that's stuck in my mind for all these years. The law of the place of the tort. And even though the opponents to this bill have pointed out some terrible fact situations and unfortunate situation of choice, conflicts of laws, I have to say that it's not unique. I practiced before the United States Court of Veterans Claims in Washington, D.C., a special court in our nation's capital. And there, all veterans have the same situation as litigants in the state of Minnesota, in that when you die, I could be in the middle of prosecuting your claim and your claim dies with you. I don't like that any more than I like what's going on in Minnesota with that concept. But it would not cause us, this bill doesn't address that. It really addresses the conflicts of laws and which law applies. And I think we have to stick with the time-honored lex loci delecti. Thank you.
Thank you for the discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hunhoff.
I move due pass on House Bill 1145.
Motion by Senator Hunhoff, due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Nygaard. Discussion on the motion. Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm not Italian and I'm not a lawyer, so... Whatever my colleague said, I'll buy that. But I think it goes back to that you need to keep and separate out where a facility is located, what are the laws of that state that operate and that regulate that facility. I think we have to keep out of mind the side of what happened to the residents. It's horrendous, but that is crimes that they or abuses that is treated. But when you're dealing with litigation, you're operating in the state, whatever state you're in, you operate those laws. The decisions are made at that facility. They manage everything there. They are licensed under that state, and I think we need to honor that. And that would be for any business that would be located any place in any state. Then I think we need to protect our citizens in this case if someone wants to come back because the law is not in their favor. It does not support that action. I think it's only the right thing to do. And again, if we are being regulated, we are regulated under the laws of the state where that business entity is located. Thank you.
Further comments? Hearing no further comments, the question is, do pass on House Bill 1145. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Senators Spiegelka?
Aye.
Unhoff?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye. Motion carries. We now go to House Bill 1003. To permit the Interim Rules Review Committee to revert a rule if the rule imposes unreasonable costs. Representative Hunt, good afternoon. Good evening, almost. I'm going to limit your remarks to remarks in the afternoon only.
Very well. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Continue, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Representative Roger Hunt from District 10, Minnehaha in Lincoln County. House Bill 1003 comes to you by all of the members of the Rules Review Committee, as you can see by the heading. All six members of the Rules Review Committee have signed on to this bill, are in support of this bill. The committee and members of the legislature will possibly recall that in 1993, there was a bill introduced that became codified law known as 6-15-1. And this is what has become known basically as the unfunded mandate rule. And it basically says no state law, rule, or regulation which mandates in any county, municipality, or school district to engage in any new activity, to provide new service, to increase levels of activity, to provide service beyond that required by existing law, has the force of law unless and until the state provides sufficient funding or means of new funding to the county, municipality to pay the cost of performing the mandated activities for the period during which the service activity is required to be performed. That unfunded mandate rule basically became part of some existing legislation dealing with the operation of the Interim Rules Committee, and that is 126-4.7. And approximately 2 years ago, that portion of our law which deals with the operation of the Interim Rules Committee, Rules Review Committee, had inserted the material that is has the strikeovers on page 2, lines 13 and 16 of House Bill 1003. And the material that I'm making reference to says that the Interim Rules Review Committee should consider whether any rule complies with the provision of 615-1. If the committee determines that any proposed rule does not comply with 615-1, the committee shall require an agency to revert to any step in the adoption procedure provided in 126-4. And essentially, what the Interim Rules Committee's job is to review all agency rules. And if those agency rules are in conflict with statute, then, of course, they, in essence, can be turned back to the agency, and the agency has to redraft them to comply. And our job is also to ensure that, in essence, there has been adequate notice given of the proposed rules, that the rules do support the legislation that the agency puts forth as the legislation which allows the agency to implement their particular new rules. The difficulty that the Interim Rules Committee has had in the last year and a half is we do not necessarily know how to deal with the provisions on page 2, the fact that we have to, in essence, comply with 615-1. And the difficulty with 615-1 is if you strictly interpret 615-1, if any rule that an agency comes forth with would create as much as a $1 mandate or 1 hour of additional service, the interim rules committee, in strict compliance, would have to cause that rule to be reverted back into the process. Now, we all know that just about any government rule or regulation is probably going to, be imposed upon local government municipalities. It's probably going to take some effort and probably some money. And so the six members of the Interim Rules Committee proposed and discussed over two or three meetings how we can deal with this problem. And our proposed solution is the underlined material on page 2, lines 10 through 12, which basically reads, the proposed rule may impose, if the proposed rule imposes any unreasonable cost upon a unit of local government, then in essence we have to and have the authority to send it back to the agency for being reheard, re-noticed, whatever the situation might be. This in essence provides a little bit of, shall we say, opportunity for the Interim Rules Committee to say, look, there's not an unreasonable cost. There may be a little cost, but there's not an unreasonable cost. And so be able to work with the executive branch of government to allow the executive branch of government to put forth the rules that particular agency deems appropriate and necessary for them to fulfill their executive functions to fill our legislative mandates as such. So that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, in sum and substance, is what has brought House Bill 1003 to you at this particular time. I would certainly stand by for any questions the committee might have, and I will note the obvious that there are two other members of the Interim Rules Committee on your committee that could also obviously be subjected to questions on this matter. So I'll stand by for any questions you may have, Mr. Chairman, or members of your committee.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. Any questions for Representative Hunt before we hear other testimony? Let's see if there's other testimony. Thank you, sir. Other proponents for House Bill 1003. Other proponents for House Bill 1003. Seeing none, are there opponents for House Bill 1003? Opponents for House Bill 1003. All spectators and no speakers? Last call. Any opponents? 1003. Seeing none, we'll close public testimony, ask for questions. Any questions from the committee? I think I do. Representative Hunt, if you could, please. And this is a bit unusual because other members of your committee are on this committee as well, so the chair might allow some jumping around here a little bit. After all, it's a late hour. Just be surprised what you can get away with after 5 o'clock in the Capitol. So help me out. How can we give Rules Committee more leeway than what we give to the legislature?
And that, Mr. Chairman, you know, in essence, is a good question, no question about it. We, of course, have the Interim Rules Committee and the Interim Appropriations Committee. And, of course, they have some authority to make some changes during the off-session months, etc. And they take some action. So I think there is some precedent for giving another interim committee some additional authority. I think that there is a safeguard even here when we say that we have to be assured that any cost is reasonable. And, of course, the Interim Rules Review Committee is made up of members of both parties, both houses. And when we think in terms of what the alternative is, the alternative would be, in my opinion, some problems in agencies putting out their particular rules. Now, it doesn't mean that those rules would be forever prohibited from being adopted by the agency, but we could be talking of months, maybe until the next session of the legislature, because the Interim Rules Committee does have the authority to, in essence, put a hold on any of those rules until July 1st of the July 1st following the next legislative session. And so we have, if I remember the statute right, we can certainly put a hold on it and delay things. It could be months and months. I don't think that makes for good working relationships between the legislative body and between the executive branch of government. Some of this, I will also note, is a matter of the members of that committee exercising their authority on a very high integrity basis, because we realize we are representing the entire legislature, both Senate and the House. And I think, very honestly, until an incident that probably occurred within the last year, dealing with some agency rules on 9/11, when there was some confusion about the cost, etc., this whole issue had never risen before, and 615-1 has been around since 1993. So, in essence, what we're seeking to have modified in 1003 is as a result of some misunderstanding in one incident that gave rise to then what we're proposing here in House Bill 1003.
And a follow-up to that, and integrity is a great word. I'm very fond of it, but I won't use it in this case because it also implies a lack of integrity on the other side. Let you know where I'm going with this. As a member of the legislature, do you find yourself sometimes thinking that the legislature, when it's making statutes, is perhaps less attentive to 615-1 than what the Rules Committee might be?
Oh, I think there is. I think that's definitely true. Sometimes we get caught up in the purpose of bills, and the legislature says, well, again, a little reasonable cost might be okay, and so we pass legislation. Yes, I think that sometimes the legislature, again, based upon wanting to do what the legislature thinks is most appropriate and what is right and fair under the circumstances, but yes.
Thank you. Any other questions for Representative Hunt? Thank you.
Thank you.
Discussion, action from the committee. Be at ease for a moment.
I'm concerned about two words: unreasonable and sufficient. Is that what the problem's been? Well, I mean, how have you been doing it before with unfunded mandates? You what? You've been avoiding.
Thank you. We're back in order. Discussion action from the committee. Senator Cutler.
Mr. Chair, since we have other members of the Rules Committee, I'd just ask them to weigh in. Obviously, this comes probably with some consensus from the Rules Committee. So if our members care to weigh in, I'd like to hear what they have to say.
Perhaps I can precipitate the weighing in by enumerating what my concerns are as a member of the Judiciary Committee.
Senator Nygaard, you're recognized.
Thank you very much. I recognize you. What I have problems with is leaving up to a small group of people two terms, unreasonable costs and sufficient funding, to interpret what that means for the entire legislature. And that's what I'd like to have. I've been having a little sidebar with Senator Valley, and he presents some good ideas and concerns, and maybe he could share those.
Did I see you ask to be recognized, Senator Valley?
I didn't see that, but I heard it.
Go ahead.
Well, it does. It presents a real dilemma to the members of the committee. If it's 3 cents or a dollar, as the representative said, what do? Do we send it back? And if it's, let's say, in April, the legislature doesn't meet again until January, and then we're going to decide we take care of the problem, and there's an issue that needs to have some rules written to take care of a problem. How do you want us to handle that, where it may be just copying costs, just to send out a notice, and then, you know, it's going to be $50. Well, you know, for a county is $25 or $50. Is that unreasonable for copying, you know, making available 25 copies of something? Maybe that's what it is. But if we put it in, as he said, I wouldn't consider that be unreasonable. Now, if it costs $25,000 or $50,000, well, I think the committee would probably say, "Golly bum, I'd raise my hand, and say, no way, you know, this doesn't fit." So, it really is a dilemma for the Rules Committee for us to consider those rules, and then we would send them back to the agency to say, try again and write it without having any costs whatsoever associated with it. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for some guidance. And I mean, we looked at a lot of things, and I'm to the point now, if it's a dollar, I'm going to say, sorry, send it back.
Thank you. Anyone wish to speak before Senator Nygaard speaks again? Senator Hounoff.
Thank you. To understand the process, when rules are promulgated, first the department has a hearing. So at that hearing, those that are impacted by that rule change have the opportunity to provide proponent and opponent testimony. And it's generally at that time or through that discussion where it's identified that there's some kind of fiscal impact that maybe wasn't anticipated with the legislature. So they have that rule hearing, they take the input, and then the department takes their recommendation or does not, and then we have the hearing before the Rules Committee. By that time, the parties that have an interest or have a concern have talked to other individuals that might share that same interest or that same concern. So when they do come before us, and when you're trying to identify or you raise the question, what's big or little, I don't necessarily agree with my colleague, Senator Valley, and that's fine, but they sort of indicate, is this going to be insurmountable that we can't absorb this? And so as a result, they're saying, wait a minute, we cannot do this. And I guess that becomes the quandary then, where you have the people that are at the hearing that are directly impacted saying, you know, we don't have the dollars here. You're forcing us to do that, but we can't do anything about it, because unless we are able now to revert back to a prior state, and it might be to the point that legislation has to change and you have to wait till the next, or it can be working something out among the groups and forcing them to have a second hearing, go back to look, is that really the intent? Is there something else that you can do? But at this point in the game, we don't have a way, when all these people are saying unfunded, we don't have the dollars, anything to send it back. This gives us the opportunity at least to send it back to a prior step. I mean, that's the way I'm viewing it. And I don't think we make a, you know, the decision is what the case example or what stirred this whole interest was when the legislation was passed and you asked the committee, you know, when legislation is written and you leave it to a department to promulgate rules, that's an open door policy for everything. I think that's one thing as legislators, we have to keep that in mind or have some cognizance that what is the implication of this legislation and who's going to decide what those fees are going to be or what are in those rules that are going to take that kind of consideration. So it's just to give us so we don't stop dead, so that if you've got all these people here and saying, wait a minute, my county does not have funds to do this, that we can say, time out, go back to a prior step. And if that slows the rulemaking process or the implementation, so be it. But at least those people have had the opportunity to present, and they've got to find the dollars, or we've got to take it back to do something different with it. That's my take on it.
Thank you. Further discussion? Further discussion or action? Senator Nygaard.
Well, I'll move to pass.
Motion for Senator Nygaard to pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Cutler. Discussion on the motion. Senator Nygaard.
Well, I recognize the concern, and I think it also points out our need as legislators to be very precise in our drafting and working with LRC and with the all the elements that go into making a bill to make sure that we enumerate what the rules should be like, what the fees are, what rulemaking authority is being given, and be specific in our bills so that it helps the Rules Committee and the agencies arrive at what our legislative intent is. I think sometimes we forget to do that when we pass legislation. But if this helps the Rules Committee operate more efficiently, I'm in favor of it.
Thank you. Further comments? Well, the chair would offer that, I mean, I think we send our Rules Committee, we ask them to do a tedious and difficult job. And it seems in the big picture that what we're doing here is giving them some probably better guidance on how to carry out that job. And I guess in the end, if it seems reasonable to me, I'm likely to support it. And so it's kind of where I'm at with the situation. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Question is, do pass on House Bill 1003. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Bigalka?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Deason?
Aye.
Seven ayes.
Motion carries.
Move consent.
Is there a second? No second. 1003 will go to the floor. It is obviously a late hour. Any other further business before the committee? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Senator Nygaard, seconded by Senator Buell. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed? We are adjourned. We'll see you in 14 hours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.